Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'll read the first several verses there. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in Jehovah with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. And I'll stop there. And I for a long time have thought about this verse and what God is saying here. And it's a verse that is very helpful to the child of God, to the Christian in our life. How many people have thought about this verse or meditated on this verse or tried to memorize this verse? Because it is so comforting and encouraging to the believer. And it is God himself speaking to us, to his people, and saying, trust me. Trust in the Lord. Trust Jehovah. And he's also telling us what not to trust or who not to trust. You and me, ourself. Don't trust yourself. And that's unheard of in the world. Don't trust yourself. Away with that kind of idea. You got to be all you can be. You're the one. You're the man. You know, wisdom is in you. It's all up to you. You got to do it. You can do it. The world thinks so very highly of a person's self. And anyone who would take God at his word here and not lean upon his own understanding, well, some people might want to counsel you. They might want to send you through some therapy where you see a psychiatrist or a psychologist because you have such a bad self-image and you really need to improve your self-image. Like yourself. Love yourself. Trust yourself. That's the world. That's what the world says in numerous ways. Well, God doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. God says, trust me. Trust the Lord. Trust in Jehovah. Which is very important, extremely important today, in our day. Because in Daniel 12, God says in verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And then in verses 9 and 10, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. God is saying that he gave information in the Bible concerning the end of the world, and he sealed it up till the time of the end, and once the world reaches the time of the end, he will open up the seals and reveal things to his people from his word, and knowledge will increase. They will now know many things they were never able to know before. And the Lord tells us that only the wise will understand this. None of the wicked will understand it. And why does God say that? Is it because only very intelligent people, only very well-educated people can understand? Is that what he means by the wise will understand? He doesn't mean that. He means only his chosen people who were predestinated from the foundation of the world will be able to understand it. And when God speaks of the wise, he has in mind the elect, because when a person becomes saved, they receive the Holy Spirit. They receive the Spirit of Christ. And Jesus is wisdom. He is the personification of wisdom. He himself is said to be wise. For instance, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." That's an interesting way that God puts it. It is by his wisdom that the world, by its wisdom, doesn't know him. I'll read it again in verse 21. "The wisdom of, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." And that's how it is today. The world, by its own wisdom, doesn't know God. That's the reason we have evolution theory taught as fact in the schools. It's put forth not by idiots. It's not put forth by stupid people. It's put forth by the best minds of the educators of the world. The best minds, the scientists, the most intelligent people have studied this issue, and they have determined that we were not created. We somehow evolved from lesser life forms that have turned into us and the whole world that we see around us. This is the wisdom of the world. The world has decided that this is what happened, and there's no God, of course. That's ridiculous. But there was some ooze, and there was a big bang, and everything began to develop, and now we have all the complex life we see all around us. It's really very simple. And it all happened tens of millions, hundreds of millions, or billions of years ago, depending on which book you're reading or which author you're listening to. And wow, it is great for the wise of this world that they were able to figure this out, that they were able to learn this So now there's no God and nobody has to be concerned with sin or the wrath of God or the judgment of God upon sin, because all that's foolishness. It's all just something that certain religious crazy people have been leaning on and trusting and believing, because they can't make it in this life and in this world without trusting that kind of thing. They need some crutch. They need something to get them through the day. And they're not enlightened like we are. And it's a very actually small remnant of the world that has developed this theory and puts it out there. But basically, this is the wisdom of the world. And the world, God says, by wisdom, knew not God. And the Lord permitted this. He allowed it. He could have clearly have prevented this kind of idea and teaching to take over the whole world practically, but he allowed it because it was part of his plan. And it goes on to say, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Like Plato and some of the philosophers we hear about. And it goes on here in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And just go down to verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is wisdom. If you would read Proverbs chapter 8, it clearly teaches Jesus is personified as wisdom. And so when God saves a person and he gives that individual a new heart and new spirit, that's Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and he is wisdom. So now, even a baby like John the Baptist upon the moment of salvation is counted wise. Or a thief on the cross a couple of hours before his death of a wasted life is counted wise. Or anyone else at the time that God saves them, they are counted wise. It has nothing to do with their intellect, with their education, or anything like that. It only has to do with whether or not Christ is in them, who is wisdom. And if you do not have the Spirit of God, you're a fool. That's the distinction that God makes in the Bible of the whole human race. There's fools and there's wise. Now, the people of the world highly regard and respect the education. If you ask them, well, how is someone counted wise? What do you consider a wise person? Well, a wise person is someone, number one, who graduates high school, goes to college, graduates college, you have some wisdom there. But if you go on for a master's degree, you've picked up a little bit more wisdom and respect in the eyes of others. If you go from there for a doctorate, whether being a doctor or a PhD in something, then you've basically attained a certain plateau of wisdom that, of course, you're a wise person. And it is many times the doctors, scientists or medical doctors or whoever, that have developed theories like the theory of evolution. And, of course, it cannot be spoken against, especially by the common people. especially by everybody else that doesn't have all that education. We're ignorant. We don't understand properly what they learn in college or in medical school or in law school or in whatever higher degree of learning they were in. Now, actually, I'm kind of being cynical, and I'm not speaking truly, because but this is the way that the world operates. This is the way that the world views things. The Bible tells us that many of the scientists or many of those who would do away with God are biased, who would do away with God with theories like the theory of evolution. If we go to Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And that means suppress. They suppress the truth. There was a good example, I think, of this recently with global warming. Global warming is going to destroy the earth. If we don't do something about it, now, of course, God's people realize May 21, 2011 will be Judgment Day, and 5 months later the earth will be destroyed. But not by global warming. No, not by global warming. By very severe global warming, as God says He will melt this whole universe with fervent heat, and it will be destroyed by fire. But I don't think that's what they had in mind, by global warming. But there is an example of very highly trained people in their field, great scientists, well-renowned in the world, and recently it was discovered through emails that they had been sending back and forth that they were suppressing the truth of certain facts dealing with global warming in the last decade or two. I forget exactly how it was. Because it did not agree with their position, which is that we have to do something. We really have to. Now, I don't want to get into politics. I don't care about politics because we have 500 days left about, and it doesn't matter whether we're spending millions or billions of dollars to combat global warming, because it's never going to happen. And that's not a problem. But I think it illustrates that here were the men, the very same men, who do put forth the theory of evolution and who deny God. And these men were hiding facts and information about global warming. They were biased. They were not honestly examining all the facts, which is what a scientist should do. And God knew this was the nature of man thousands of years ago. He says in the book of Romans that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth or hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, that's what the Lord said in 1 Corinthians 1. That the world considers the gospel and those who bring the gospel, the preaching of the cross, foolishness. foolishness. Real educated people don't even talk about those things that come from the Bible. You avoid it completely. Real educated people. And God says, well, it pleased him by the foolishness of preaching to save his people. Let the world think what they will. Let the best minds, the brilliant scientists of the world come up with their theories. But actually, here's what's going on. And who do you trust? Who do you trust? All right. Yes, May 21, 2011 is Judgment Day. That's mocked by many. Are you kidding? Are you off your egg? Or are you just out of your mind? Are you a gullible fool? Are you an idiot that you believe that? Well, okay. That's what you think about those who trust the Bible. And God says to trust him, trust in the Lord, trust in Jehovah. But let me ask you, and God points this out, what do you trust in? What's your trust in? You don't trust the Lord. You don't trust his word. You don't trust the Bible. What do you trust in to mock? What do you trust in where now you have the authority and the understanding where you're going to say, no way? What is your trust in? And I thought that would be a good thing for us to look at first. What God tells us not to trust in. He tells us to trust in the Lord, but he also in many places tells us not to trust in some other things. And so I have several verses to begin with. Let's go to Psalm 146. 146 and verses 3 and 4. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. So God is saying, don't trust princes, nor the Son of Man. And princes would be royalty, and of course that could be kings or princes or anyone with royal blood, or we would say today, the leaders of governments, the leaders of the world, are they trustworthy? Anybody here? Now, hold on, before I say this, the Bible tells us to obey your leaders, and we want to do that in all things lawful, but to trust them in their thinking about their perspective of the world or of the creation, or of spiritual things, does anybody trust their government in that? Do you trust the dictators, or the kings, or the presidents, or the prime ministers of the world? I think most people give evidence that they don't trust a lot of things their governments do in just about every government on earth, no matter what style government. The people eventually learn not to trust the government in certain things. And yet again, you know, if we're under a communist or socialist or democracy or dictatorship, it doesn't matter. We obey the government in everything lawful, but we don't trust in them for information about what comes after death or what May 21, 2011 what's going to happen then. And again, let's go to Jeremiah 7 and look at verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words. Trust ye not in lying words. Now, there's a big problem for mankind. Because Even when we're born, the Bible says we're speaking lies. Even when we're born, we're speaking lies in our heart. That's what the Bible says. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 and verse 10 we're familiar with. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. And again, deceit would be to lie. You're not being honest. And this is the nature of man, that man naturally is a liar. And that goes for every person, you and me included. Man naturally is a liar. Look at verse 4 of Romans 3. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And that's the fact. That is the fact. You ever meet an honest person? You'll meet plenty of people tell you they're honest. Just like you meet plenty of people tell you, I'm basically good. I'm basically good. You get many people who will testify of themselves, but find a person that's never lied. You can ask even those who say they're basically good. Have you ever lied? Children, we don't have to be 50 to lie. Have you ever lied when you got caught doing something and you point to your brother? We're naturally liars. When we're put on the spot, we lie. Does that change when we get older and become a scientist and we develop a theory called evolution? No, especially if we have a position we would really like to hold. If there's a bias, like there some with global warming, they had a bias. They wanted that those facts and that information to teach that, yes, the earth is warming because their whole business is involved with it. And what do people get by teaching evolution and basically saying there's no God? Well, freedom. They think freedom to do what they want as they wish, really to sin at will and live a life without constraints, without fears of a angry and wrathful God judging them. So there is strong motivation there for a man who's naturally a liar, he's born a liar, to kind of cover over the facts a little bit. And God says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the whole universe with the sun, the moon, and stars teaches us there's a creator and a God. There's no way anybody could be could actually think reasonably and think this world came into being and all the complex life in it through itself somehow. You know, that's not even a possibility. It's not even possible for that to happen. Well, God says He is true. Let God be true, and He is true. Thy word is truth. It's impossible for God to lie, but it's very possible for man to lie. So, who do you trust? Who are you leaning on? You don't believe May 21, 2011? That's just silly. You know, the sad thing is, many people are going to trust their buddies and their friends. Just because when they bring something like that up, they get, are you for real? Are you serious? Or that smirk, get out of here with that. Well, is that all the evidence they have? a simple, superficial, negative comment that's going to tell you how ridiculous May 21 is? Where is their proof? Where is their evidence? What are they trusting in? How dare they just write it off like that? Where do they get the wisdom from to make that kind of declaration? That's it. Just a few friends mock it, and so you're going to believe them? You're going to trust them? And really, would you trust them with other things in your life? Would you trust them with valuables? Are they really that trustworthy? Would you give them your money? Would you give them things you really are concerned about and care about? No. No, you wouldn't. But it goes deeper than that. Because that bias is in you, as well as in the scientist. It's in your nature. It's in who you are. Because every man's a liar. Let's also go to look at a few more verses, such as Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7 and verse 4. We looked at this. Trust ye not in lying words. Then Jeremiah 9, verse 4. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Now, God, you can look at this a couple of different ways. Number one, your neighbors. Don't trust your neighbors. Number two, don't trust your family members. Number three, don't trust your spiritual family members, as Christians do at times speak of fellow Christians as brothers and sisters. We're living in a time of great tribulation. And God says, don't trust princes. Don't trust the Son of Man. Don't trust brothers or neighbors. Don't trust them. They're not trustworthy because they can lie. Who do we trust? Well, we keep going back. I trust in the Lord. Trust in Jehovah, yes, but do not trust these other things, these other people. Let's go to Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 through 7 says, thus saith Jehovah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Jesus knew what was in man. Do we know what's in man? That is, that man is spiritually dead, and he is in rebellion against God, and he'll do anything to avoid the light of the gospel of the Bible from shining in his life to reveal he's not as good as he would like to think he is, that he's not as great as he would maybe present to others, but rather, he's inwardly full of all manner of iniquity and wickedness and evil that flows from his heart. And so he does not like the word of God that reveals that. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Jehovah. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Jehovah, and whose hope Jehovah is. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Jehovah. Don't trust in man. A big reason why, verse 9, the heart of man is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What does deceitful mean? To lie, to deceive, to trick. And man's heart is so deceitful, God says it's above all. So the biggest liar you know is yourself. It's yourself. You may not know that, because God says your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You may not even know that you lie to yourself. You might think that all is well with you, or the way you paint the picture of yourself to yourself. Everything about your whole life may be a big lie, because that's the nature of man. And that's why God says, don't trust you or anybody else that is in this world. No human being alive now on the face of the earth should be trusted. And actually, we shouldn't trust the dead human beings that have written confessions and creeds and theologies and doctrines. They're not to be trusted either. Only the Lord. Only God. Let's go to Micah 7. And look at verses 5 through 7. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence, and that's the same word, trust, in a guide. So, again and again and again, God is saying, don't trust whoever you can think of. Now, you know, we don't want to be paranoid and think of people. Yes, we learn that we can trust some people to hold our money. Yes, we learn we can trust some people to keep our secrets. Yes, we learn we can trust some people to be our friends. But that's not the same thing as trusting them in such an incredibly important matter as the Word of God and the Gospel, and whether or not May 21 in 2011 is Judgment Day. What do they know? Especially if you're young and you have young friends. If you're 10 and your friends are between 10 and 12. If you're a teenager and your friends are 13, 14, 15, 16. How much do they really know? How much information can a young person gain in this world in a few short years? How much do they really know? Compared not to even the geniuses of the world, but compare that to God and His infinite mind. He tells us that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways above our ways, as the heavens are from the earth. That's how great His thoughts are. And so He tells us not to trust friends or put trust or confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Don't even trust mom. Don't trust mom. That's what the Bible says. Not when it comes to the truth. Not when it comes to the truth. And children, yes, obey your parents. And for you, those of you that have wonderful mothers that God has saved and are instructing you, well, that's good. But still, the responsibility for each person is to check out what we hear. When somebody's teaching from the Bible, we have to check it out and see if it's so as best we can. And verse 7, therefore I will look unto Jehovah, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. Again, you know, God tells us who not to trust, and he just basically covers the whole earth. He covers the whole world and all the people in it. One more verse. Let's go to Proverbs 28. And verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. If you trust in your own heart, you're a fool, because it's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And we know that many professing Christians trust that somehow that they're a child of God, and there's nearly or around 2 billion in the world, and the great majority of them are deceived. And God is telling us, don't trust our own thinking, don't trust our own understanding. As he says back in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in Jehovah with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So what if I just went like this, and I mean, I'm not going to do it, but what if I decided, oh, there's a nice solid wall right here, and I just go like that, and I do put all my weight on it, is it going to hold me up? I'm going to hit the floor, and I could be hurt. Well, that God is saying what we trust, we lean on. And He is the only one who is worthy of our trust. Nobody else. Nobody else. Only God. And not even our own self. We're not to lean on our own understanding, which, you know, we have common sense, of course, and sometimes we get things right, and we know not to walk in certain neighborhoods at certain times. We can figure out a lot of things that have to do with everyday living. But when it comes to the truth of the Bible and what God is opening up from the Scriptures concerning these last days and the time that remains, we would be a fool to trust our own thoughts or our own thinking, or to lean on that in any way at all. God says, trust in Him. In Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in Jehovah and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in Jehovah, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto Jehovah, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And that's what God is doing now. He's testing all of us, the whole Great Tribulation is a time of testing, and that's why so many of these doctrines have been uncovered. And it's a test that's designed to aim right at our heart, and it's also a test to see if we believe Him and if we trust Him, if we trust God, or if we don't trust Him, who do we trust? And it can reveal that. It can show us that maybe we're trusting our family because they just speak so badly about these things. I'm not going to continue listening to them. Or we're trusting our friends because our friends, they don't like anything to do with the Bible or the gospel, and every time I bring it up, they just kind of mock me. So I feel bad, and I like my friends. I want to keep them, so I'm going to stay with them, and I don't want anything more to do with the information from the Bible. Or we're trusting some knowledgeable theologian or pastor or church, or we're trusting anyone and anything other than the Bible. God is going to reveal this to us, and He tells us who to trust, Him alone. Let's go to Psalm 119 and just read one verse, 42. Psalm 119, 42. Says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. May 21, 2011 comes from the Bible. Only the Bible. It's derived from the Bible. So that means we can trust it wholeheartedly, absolutely, completely, because God identifies with His Word completely. And He says, trust me, trust my Word. Trust in the Lord is trusting what the Bible says. And May 21, 2011 didn't come out of a hat. It's not a theory put forth by a council of pastors. It didn't come from any other source than the Bible. And so, do we trust God? Do we really trust Him? Are we going to lean on Him and not our own thinking or others' thinking? Because God is true and every man a liar. He is the only one who is to be trusted and is trustworthy because His words are true and faithful. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would grant us faith and trust in You, and that we would cast our cares upon You, for You careth for us, we pray. And Father, that we would follow You and realize that we only have a short amount of time to do what You would have us to do as Your servants. And Father, we pray that You would have mercy on our children, that as we go along and as they hear, maybe their friends or neighbors or anyone say things that are contrary to Your word, then we pray that they might think, well, where does that person get their authority? And how can they make that statement? And Father, we pray that You would save them. And we are thankful that You save Noah and his family and Lot and some of his family, so that we do know that you do work in families, and you save one of a city and two of a family. And Lord, we pray that You would have mercy on all of our children, even though we know that it's in Your hands, and You will save who You will save and have mercy on who You will have mercy. We do ask that You would open their eyes and make them wise, for a wise man's eyes are in his head, but a fool walks in darkness. And we do pray that You would help them to see just exactly where we are, and that they would be warned and take warning. Father, we ask for Your blessing on Your word once again, and we pray that You would guide us the rest of this day, and that You might bless those that are handing out tracts and those that will be receiving them. We also ask You will bless Family Radio as it goes out into the world today, and we pray for those people that are in India and Pakistan that will be under the hearing of Family Radio. May you lead more of Your elect people to listen, to hear, and to become saved. And we pray that You would strengthen Mr. Camping and continue to give him wisdom towards Your word, and open up his understanding even more as we go along. And all those that work at Family Radio, we ask that You would bless all of them there and their families also. And Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.